You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, at with Zibby and Tracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Enjoy the show. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Here's a little snippet by one of the authors from the anthology.
My name is Sarah McCall. I am so happy to have contributed to Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids, which is the funniest title ever. My essay is called The Circular Breast, and what I really don't have time for is finishing books I don't love. I used to feel a sense of duty, but now if I don't love it, I let it go.
Chris Klink is the author of Sissy Klein is Completely Normal.
Chris is also the author of Goodbye, Lark, Lovejoy, which received praise from Bustle, Midwest, Book Review, Kirkus Review, Women.com, Lone Star Literary, Brit & Co., Travel & Leisure Magazine, and Entertainment Weekly, among others, for both books. She's a member of the Women Fictions Writers Association and the Authors Guild. Before becoming a novelist, she oversaw business development in medical environments and managed an office of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. Since then, her work has been published in Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium, thank you very much, DIY MFA, Authority Magazine, Thrive Global, Women Writers, Women's Books, and Accent West Magazine. She's the host of Chris Klink's Writing Table, a podcast about books and writing, where she interviews a variety of publishing professionals and authors, from Lemony Snicket, Daniel Handler, to Camille Paglen. And by the way, also me, if you want to listen to my episode on her amazing podcast. That was called Chris Klink's Writing Table, if you want to listen to our episode. Calling the Texas Panhandle home for most of her life, Chris now lives in Kansas. She and her husband have filled their empty nest with two spoiled rotten pups. When not writing, Chris is playing pickleball with friends or searching for an open karaoke mic and an understanding audience. Everybody is playing pickleball, except for me. I don't know. Anyway, enjoy. Welcome, Chris. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Sissy Klein is Completely Normal. I mean, is anybody completely normal? Come on.
Well, exactly. That's kind of the point. It's like, yeah. What is normal? But I'm going to jump ahead of you real quick and tell you congratulations on your new anthology release.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
For you. You are a powerhouse. You're doing great stuff for us. Great stuff for writers. So anyway, sorry. Didn't mean to jump in, but
No, that's really sweet. I really appreciate it. Thank you. I'm excited. Awesome. Wait, so tell me, what is Sissy Klein is Completely Normal about? Tell listeners what it's about and also what inspired you to write it.
It is about a character that was in my first book that was just a very quiet character. She was only in two scenes. And she was married to this guy that was obnoxious. And I started to write the second book and went, I was going to write about one of the more obvious characters. And I just kept going back to Sissy and going, what is that guy's wife like? What got her there? You know, how did this seeming, you know, her dad is this big attorney in town. Her mom is kind of a little bit of a Pollyanna, but very socially conscious, and dad's golfing at the club and mom's playing tennis. And so how did she land in this space? And so that's kind of how I got there. I just kept hearing this whisper of, but wait, what about Sissy? What's her story? And it was that quiet story that I really didn't think it would have traction. I started writing, I was like, okay, am I just playing around here? And it ended up really taking off. And I found that, you know, we've all seen those couples where we say, why is she with him or why is he with her? And it's never simple. And so, you know, it's easy to say, oh, he doesn't treat her good. Why doesn't she, you know, leave? And so, you know, there's reasons. I mean, relationships are so complicated. And so digging into that, kind of doing this character dissection really showed me that everybody has a story. And whether they're big or small, I mean, it's kind of like your anthologies. I mean, they're these little snippets into people's lives, but I think it's so important that we tell those stories because readers will see a little thread of themselves, and maybe it's that thread that made them feel ashamed, and they see somebody else doing something else with it, and it could be, you know, the door that opens right there to motivate them and know that they're not alone. And so I started writing this about Sissy kind of like this. In the first book, Lark thinks that she might have been abused. There might be some domestic abuse, and so that's kind of where I was going, but it was so much more complicated than that. And it really went back to, you know, when you're 16 years old, you're kind of living life day by day and you think you're bulletproof and you're not really thinking. Most of us aren't thinking ahead of what's going to happen and, you know, what could happen. What are the effects of these little decisions I make? You know, one night going to play with my friends, you know, what is that going to do? And so that one night changed Sissy's life. And so that's where we start with Sissy.
Wow. And I love that you start the book by talking about people who grow at different heights and how there's like, how they become like, what did you say? Peanut butter and jelly or something like that. Like some, cause I felt like when I was growing up, that was something that kept happening to me because I just like, I never got tall. Like, and so I had friends who got just super duper tall. Anyway, I related to that. But anyway.
Well, in Sissy's case, getting tall, it was kind of an irony because she's tall and the guy she marries doesn't want her to be tall. So she has to wear flats throughout her marriage. And it kind of goes back to, you know, she's being formed basically by everybody else until this tragedy happens. And that's when she gets to bust out and be, you know, her authentic self that she's been kind of growing this whole time.
Oh my gosh. So when you started the beginning of the series, and that was Goodbye Lark, Love Joy. Where did that come from in your life, in your professional life? Like, how did you get started? Like, tell me the whole story.
Well, I lost a friend to ALS when she was young. And I had her, those things, when they happen when you're young, that's not supposed to happen when another mom, you know, another mom with kids your age, that happens. And so ALS was kind of at the core of that. I knew I wanted that to be part of the book. And I'd gone down to South Texas we were in San Antonio, and we went to the Green Dance Hall, which is one of the oldest dance halls in the country. And it was a dance hall that, you know, we walked in at like 2 p.m. because one of our older children was like, you have to go in there. You have to see this. And when I walked in, the floorboards bent under my feet. And I told my husband, I don't know what the book is going to be about, but when I write it, some of it's going to happen here, because you just kind of felt like this low hum of people that had been there before. And I mean, it goes back, you know, 100 years. And so it was just, that's kind of where it started, that community, that small community that has a little bit of a big spotlight on it because of all the people that come through there. And so it started there. And then, you know, I went through Lark's life, and basically Lark came back to her hometown after she's lost her husband to ALS. And she's not the Little Miss Sunshine life on a cracker that she was when she left. And so that's kind of where Lark takes off. And when she meets Sissy's husband, they're separated. Sissy and her husband are separated, and he has a crush. He has an unrequited crush from high school, and he thinks this is great. We're going to get back together. And of course, Lark doesn't want anything to do with him. And she had worked as a pro bono attorney in a domestic violence shelter in Houston before she moved back. And she recognized something in Sissy that wasn't right. There was just something that she was beaten down. And I think we find out it's more emotionally, but you know, emotional abuse is abuse no matter what. So anyway, that's kind of where it came from.
And what about the writing? Like, did you start writing when you were a kid? Like, when did you know you wanted to write?
I knew I wanted to write when I was really young. I mean, it's funny because I bought this book, a used book, that when people ask me what is the book that inspired you? And I remember getting this book, and it was around Halloween. It was a little yellow book in my little school library that was the Little Lost Witch, I think is what it is. And I loved that book. And even after Halloween, I would check it out. And I remember thinking, gosh, I do this. And I had some incredible teachers that gave me the confidence that I really didn't get a lot of that at home. I had great teachers who showed me that, you know, no matter who you are, you can do this. And so my whole life, I knew I was going to do it. And I worked for nonprofits and did medical development stuff. And so, you know, I was writing, but my name was never on it. It was stuff that, you know, was for an organization, but I always knew I was going to do it. And when I was 46, my husband said, "Hey, Chris, when are you going to write that book?" And I quit my job. And a month later, I was writing Lark Lovejoy.
Oh my gosh. You do not look that old. No, seriously. I guess I'm 45, so I guess you would just be my age. But 46, I don't know. I'm like, you look like you're 36. But anyway.
No, I'm 51. I'll be 52.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It took a while to get that. To work through, you know, learning your craft and writing is technical writing is different than fiction writing. So
I didn't know if you meant like the anti-aging or the writing.
No, I'm just talking about, you know, it took a while, the years between 46 and now. So
yeah, but still. But then also these books came out so close together, right? I mean,
yeah, the publisher, I had already done the second one, and the publisher thought, since they were going to be part of a series, that would be a good thing to give people, you know, the second one pretty quickly. And I've had people message me and email me and say, when is the next one coming out? And I'm like, okay, you know, it's coming out in November. So that was really exciting to have people buy in so quickly.
And is there another one coming after this?
There is. I just finished writing a book that is not in the series. And I've parked that. I kind of do this. I park the draft and let it air out a little bit, work on another project, come back and do the edits so that, you know, you come back and you can see it a little differently. And so, yes, there is. The next one is about a winemaker who's probably in her late 50s, early 60s, who actually inspired Lark to become a winemaker in the first book. And it got a handsome Irishman, and it also has her daughter. She had a terrible divorce and kind of lost her, you know what, over it. And that therapy didn't really help. And that's how she ended up in winemaking. And so she thinks she's going to reunite with her daughter when her daughter's going to come back and stay with her at the winery. And she doesn't know that the daughter is bringing her father with her, who is recuperating after an accident. And so that's going to really give Natasha a chance to rehash the things that happened after her divorce and so on.
Wow. That sounds great.
Tell me more
about your friend with ALS.
She was an incredible, her name is Lee. She was an incredible mom. She was smart and funny. And she was a volunteer and she did fabulous things for the junior league. She painted a mural at her children's school and it wasn't finished when her right side kind of went, her right arm paralyzed. And she continued to paint it with her left. That's wow. How inspiring she was. I mean, she's just, I think about her all the time. And so it was in the first book. Also, we have a lot about our veterans too. And it's about PTSD. But really Lark has PTSD from losing her husband, and the male counterpart does from Afghanistan from an IED event. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Did you do this did you time it to Veterans Day at all?
No, that one came out in April and it was just, came out when the publisher wanted it to come out. And
okay. I thought you were saying in November, but
no, this one comes out in November. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yes. I'm getting confused.
No worries. Right.
Of course. Wow. Well, I'm really sorry about your friend. I have a friend with ALS as well. And I know how that goes, but it's been quite a while, you know?
Yeah.
But I just think all of this, when you witness things that happen, I mean, this sounds so obvious, but it's like every day, it's like, well, I have this day here, you know, I'm able-bodied today and I can get out and I can work and I can walk and I can do whatever. And so I have to go do this now, right? Because not everybody gets to do this today.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, "This is so exciting."
So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Okay. So I don't know.
Well, this morning I woke up and it was before I knew my alarm clock was going to go, or my alarm on my phone was going to go off in like 5 minutes. And I laid there and I was thinking about all these things I need to do that don't have anything to do with writing, plus this. And I thought about what you said when I interviewed you about when I said, how do you do it? And she said, because I don't have time. We don't have time. And I took that as you don't have time to waste. So get busy. And so this morning, I just want you to know that's what got me out of bed this morning.
Oh my gosh.
Minutes before my alarm, because I thought, you know what? What are you doing here? You don't have time. Go. So it is, it's, you know, every minute is precious and we need to use it. So.
Oh, well, wow. Thank you. I love hearing these things. I don't have any memory at all of anything I say. So this is, it's always like, people are like, oh, remember when you told me this? That like, I was like, no, I don't, but I'm delighted that that happened.
Well, see, you're inspiring people and you don't even know it. And you are inspiring people every day. The things that, you know, I take little nuggets out of every one of your shows. You know, as a writer, you get writing nuggets, but then you also get, who did you interview that wrote Ghost? I listened to her this morning.
Dolly
you guys
Alderton.
This morning. She was talking about her knickers. She kept saying knickers.
She was,
and I walked away.
Her. Oh my gosh.
But I'm never going to see underwear the same way again. They're knickers. Oh, it's a lot of fun. What you do, you know, you give people that venue to tell their stories. And that's what I was saying about Sissy. It's like her story is a quiet story. And, you know, she says, toward the end, she said something about, you know, I didn't find my purpose in a college brochure or in my job. I found it in tons of little moments and a few big ones. And that's life. That's what we are. And your show does that. You give us a glimpse into people's lives. And I just think that's lovely what you do.
Thank you. That's so nice. This is the best podcast ever.
Well, it's authentic.
So what made you want to start interviewing people? And like, when did that start?
You know, I've got a background in communications and I've done all kinds of things. I mean, I've worked for a hospice for 2 years with it. I mean, that's a whole other, I need to blog about that one of these days, but we were on COVID and I was preparing for that first book to come out in April of this last year. And my publicist was asking, you know, they were pushing me to blog and I was like, what am I going to blog about? My kids aren't here. My husband and I are here on lockdown. I've got this. Most of the time it was my Great Dane Sophie and I. So like, what do I say? I took Sophie out. I cleaned up the poop today. That's pretty good. I thought, I don't have anything to blog about. And so I kept saying I was going to do a podcast. And Kristen Higgins said, it's a lot of work. And I said, I thought, interviewing people, I can do that. It is a lot of work. You know that, but it has been so fun. And I wish I would have done it sooner because when I was on lockdown, you know, I wasn't talking to anybody. And this was it's so fun. It's so fun asking the authors that you admire so much, the questions that you want to know. And it's just so fun.
I could not agree more.
I can't believe you do it every day. I don't know how you do it every day.
I don't know. Some I don't do very well. Perhaps this one.
No, you do great.
So who are some other authors either coming up or who you've had or who are you excited about?
I am interviewing Laura Lippman in a couple of weeks and I'm trying to think of who else. You know, I'm kind of starstruck right now. I'm trying to remember who all. I just interviewed my friend Kristen Higgins actually inspired me to do the podcast because when I knew I was going to do something writerly and she had always reminded us when we'd go to conferences and stuff. And I say us because she'd always have like a little covey of ducklings following her around because she was such a great mentor. And she still is. But she would say, there's plenty of room at the table. We're not in competition. There's plenty of room. People aren't going to read one book. They're going to read dozens of books, hundreds of books, hopefully. And so, you know, she, besides her writing, I love her writing. I love what Bethany Crandall is doing. You know, she's pretty new and she's just so fresh and funny.
She's so funny.
She has become a dear friend of mine. She and I text almost every day. We'll send each other videos. She's so funny. Trish Dohler, who wrote Float Plan. I think Float Plan, I interviewed her. I had not read Float Plan yet. And then that's the one video, the one interview that all the audio went wrong on and I could not salvage it. I had to do it again, but I did it after I read it. And it was so fun. And I'm actually meeting her next week and two other writers for just a little writing retreat in Florida for just five days. So, you know, it's been really fun. It's been really fun. But let's see, you asked me about authors. Bethany, oh my gosh.
Bethany Crandall, by the way.
Bethany Crandall. Yeah.
I wrote her yesterday and I was like on Instagram and I was like, you have the best Instagram comments. Like she makes the best comments. I was like, you win like the Zibby Award for the best Instagram comments.
There have to be a new category next year.
Yes, that's what I said. New category. That's it.
Well, she's just, you know, and she has so much on her plate and people don't realize like how much she does. She works. She has a daughter with special needs. She has another daughter. You know, she's got a life and two dogs. And I mean, you never know. Kind of goes back to the sissy thing. You never know what people's stories are, what their real stories are.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
That's what podcasts are fun because you find out what people think that writers look like Diane Keaton, you know, at the Hamptons in her big white bedroom and office. And we just sit there and write and drink champagne and wait for the checks to come in. And it's so not anything like that, but we have to, it's in our DNA. We have to. And so it's really great to get to talk to those authors that you love and find out what their story is and, you know, what their, as Kristen Higgins taught me when I started writing is find out what their wound is. And you'll have so much, such an easier time writing the book when you know what that character's wound is, because our wounds affect the way we see everything. And so, you know, I think about like these, when I was in grad school, I took gender comm and one of my professors was talking about something, I'm going to probably butcher this, but something about standpoint theory, where the way you see the world is everything, you know, where your feet are right now, it's everything that came before that. But when I see you in this beautiful, you know, I see your beautiful office with all the colorful books and everything, I could assume that all kinds of things about you. But knowing your story tells me, you know, gives me insight into your heart and your social consciousness and why you do what you do. And so I just think it's interesting. I love getting to know people and I love taking those, you know, how authors can take those little stories and just break them apart and show us that we're not alone. You know, our readers are not alone in the world. They have some similarity that relates back to, you know, hopefully it's a character that broke out and is a hero in some way. So anyway,
I love that.
I didn't answer your question. Sorry.
It doesn't matter. I loved it. I love what we're talking about because I could not agree more. I mean, I never get tired of hearing people's stories ever. Like if I ever say to someone, like, what's your story? Like, how did you start writing? Like what is your story? It's endlessly fascinating to me to figure out the backstory of everybody. Cause you're right. People, you know, you present as one thing and nobody knows.
No. And you know, it's funny. Cause I have one of the things that I don't know if I should even bring this up, but one of the things that inspired me about the Sissy book is that I have one of my very best friend from the time we were nine and we kind of got estranged a little bit in high school and she was part of a fundamentalist religion and she got married and pregnant at a young age. I think she had her son at 18. And I was just like, why? I don't get that. Like, you are so smart. You have all this potential. I was so judgy about it. And in the book, Sissy's best friend, Della, is judgy. I was never as bitchy as Della. God, I hope not. Because we're best friends to this day. But I didn't understand. And the marriage did not last long. And it was a traumatic thing for her and her son, but her son has grown and just such a fine young man now. And she's remarried and so happy. And in a way I told her when I wrote this and I gave her one of the arcs, I said, you know, this is kind of my homage to you and a love story to you, because it is not her story. It is nothing like her story, but except that she got married and pregnant young, but that, you know, we judge and it's easy to judge from the outside. And so, you know, when you really dissect it, you find out that there were plenty of reasons, good reasons, why she did what she did at the time. And that's, you know, that's all we can do is make our best decisions at the time that they're, we're facing them. So,
so true.
I really, you know, Marissa, if you're there, that's to you.
Oh, dedication. After the fact, dedication.
Well, she's been in both dedications. So the dedication that I was up for a Zibby Award.
Yes, of course.
She knows all my secrets and loves me.
Yes, anyway. I loved that. I totally loved that. Yes.
I think that was in the other book though.
Yeah, not this one. Yeah. I do have your other book too. Uh-oh. Well, anyway, as I flip to this dedication, advice for aspiring authors.
You know, I would say understand that you are writing fiction. If you're writing fiction, you're writing fiction and you think, and I went into it thinking I was writing about other people and I didn't really want to be a part. I didn't want to expose my life. And in time, first hone your craft, but also know, have that sense in the back of your mind that you are going to unveil some of yourself, because otherwise the work isn't going to come across as authentic. It comes from you. It comes, you know, you're not telling your story, but you're telling a story through your filter. And so I don't know that I'm doing it justice. It's hard to explain, but you know, I didn't want to blog about myself. And I've done a couple essays on Medium for Moms Don't Have Time to Write. And it's made me open up and think about how I want to, you know, stories that I should be sharing, because I write fiction, but there are stories that are meaningful that could be shared just like the essays. And so I think that's one thing writers need to realize is that if you're writing fiction, go ahead and write stories. Don't show them to anybody if you don't want to, but write stories about yourself. Write stories about the traumatic, horrible things, because in those things, you're going to find threads that you can put in your fiction that are going to be very meaningful to other people, to readers.
That's great advice. That's great. Love it. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thanks for coming on and all the compliments.
Being here.
Thanks for sharing Sissy with us and your great writing and all of the rest. And so thank you. And the interviewing and, you know, our shared love of authors.
Well, thank you. I want to have you back on to talk about, like, you know, as I was talking about new writers should be doing more essays and stuff, I'd like to talk about, like, not the essays for your books, but the essays for like Medium and things to try to encourage writers to.
Yes, they should
do that as a vehicle to kind of get started. And, you know, they're not all going to get published, but, you know, maybe it'll teach
you never know
along the way.
There you go. That's a great idea. Thank you for that.
Sure. When things slow down, you guys.
Okay. All right. When that happens.
I tell you the day after your book comes out.
I know. Sorry if I'm a little scattered today.
No, you are so on the ball. I don't know how, like I said, I don't know what drug you take to stay so focused with all you have. You are amazing.
I don't take a focus drug.
I know you don't.
I should. I have probably confessed.
Well, maybe
them.
You should have them study you and make that for the rest of us.
Oh man.
Well, I hope you get a vacation soon. I hope you get a great vacation.
No, yeah. I don't need to. I'm good. I'm all good. This is all so exciting that it just keeps propelling me forward. So I'm good. Well,
you are a lovely, lovely human. And what you do for authors is just amazing. So thank you for championing our stories.
Yeah. And Sissy Klein's while we're at it. Okay.
All right.
Bye, Chris. Thank you.
Bye. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.